Hi, and welcome to We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Sayla.
And this is Kalina.
And we are a podcast where we read paranormal romance novels and talk about them.
Yes.
I guess mostly we listen to them, but
it's... We are reading them. I will stand 100% behind the statistics that are coming out that audiobooks provide just as much content, as much, like, your brain remembers as much, you learn as much, just as if you're reading. Actually, sometimes more for different people, but...
Sure.
So, I agree. Listening to the audiobooks, we are still reading, quote, those books.
Good. Then I have never read so many books in my entire life. There you so go. This is awesome. At least in a... I guess it's a span of a year. It's going on... I mean, we're almost a year and a half into recording, so...
Yeah. You've been killing it.
Yeah.
Well, 26 books.
Yep.
This is
indeed
episode 26. So
yeah,
that's how many we've done in a little over a year.
I've never seen that beer before. It looks like someone just like made it in their backyard.
And we're 90% sure that it's knockoff beer. Okay. China's pretending to make it.
It looks like not beer.
It doesn't actually say anything about, like, we also don't believe it actually has alcohol in it. Because it doesn't say anywhere on any of the box or any of the cans it has no alcohol. Like, we're 90% sure it's just like the Chinese are just flooding them. It just says beer.
It literally just says beer.
It's not right.
It's the coolest
thing. Alex buys the cheapest beer. Like, he just goes to the store and, like, whatever is, like,
beer.
Here's, you know, a 24-pack for, like, $10. He's like, done. And everyone's like, I don't know if that's real beer.
But Genesee. Beer.
Beer. They claim to be from 1878, New York's oldest brewery, founded in 1878. Huh. But they also just, the fact that there's no beer content, alcohol content on
I think that's
any so of the cans or any of the boxes.
It's hilarious.
I'm like, okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, great.
That's my beer, guys. So I know I don't stick to just one drink.
Sure.
We've discussed
She's got whiskey and rum.
Sometimes it's wine.
Sometimes it's wine.
Sometimes it's
sparkling stuff.
Hard ciders or what? No, what is this? Hard seltzer.
Seltzer, yeah.
Beer. It's literally whatever alcohol we have in the house. I just will grab it. I'm like, I need that for recording, guys. It's my recording night. I'm living an alcohol tax on the household. Whatever's here, I'm drinking it.
Perfect. It works. I got my iced tea because it's also really fucking hot.
Oh, God.
Almost broke 100 today, so.
In mid-September, it's too fucking hot for this.
Way too hot.
Sorry.
Sorry. Okay. Yes. So,
what did we read?
We read Deadly Alchemy by Julie Morgan, mm-hmm. narrated by Fiona Thrale.
Yep, just that. Thrale.
Thrale.
Thrale. Oh, that's how it said it in the audio.
Okay. And this is about a bunch of steampunk werewolves in vampires. Victorian times.
So
and
basically... And
vampires.
Steampunk Victorian porn.
Yes, it is. It is
Victorian just, steampunk porn. Just, that's it. Victorian that's steampunk porn.
Yes.
If you just want, like, half of your book to be descriptions of corsets and top hats and goggles, fucking this is the book for you.
Is it?
You will never hear so many descriptions of corsets in your life. We're in a Victorian museum. And we don't talk about corsets as much as this fucking book talks about corsets.
Lots of descriptions about costumes or outfits in this one.
Lots of putting corsets on, taking mm-hmm. corsets off.
It is. It really is just a big descriptive
corsets
porn.
For corsets.
For corsets.
Costume porn. Like, if you just love descriptions of costumes.
Sure.
Victorian steampunky costumes.
This is it. This is your book. For you.
Yeah. There's also kind of a plot about vampires and werewolves and alchemists. So, Amelia is our main protagonist, and she is an alchemist. She is in the process of trying to find a cure for vampires. Vampires exist, but they are kind of bad. So, in the middle of this, she does it. She finds her cure. She, you know, she's excited about it. She tries to tell her boss. Somebody kills her driver. A vampire saves her, kind of. A vampire named Michelle, like, saves her and helps her get home. And he's very charming and handsome. And she immediately starts feeling butterflies for Michelle. Mm-hmm. And he kind of hangs around for the next couple of days. She goes out dancing with her sister. She's having fun. She's working on her cure. She gets kidnapped. and the kidnapper is John, and somehow explains to her werewolves, which I missed.
I knew
that it, like, got explained, but it was so short that I was like, nah, I'm not going back to figure that one out.
No, she was just like, oh, I guess they exist too. I'm like, you fucking believed in vamp? I mean, new vamp? I mean, I know alchemists created vampires, yeah. But still, it was kind of like...
So, like, yeah, the lore in this world is that Henry the Fifth?
Eighth.
Henry VIII was the first vampire because he made his alchemist, he was trying to get his alchemist to find eternal life. And his alchemist tried and ended up making Henry VIII a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're vampires.
They are.
And then witches made werewolves or something. I don't know. It's a weird story.
I missed that part.
Anyway, yeah. So she gets kidnapped. She's upset. They tell her that Michelle's actually evil and he's trying to steal the cure from her to do something nefarious with it. And she doesn't believe them. And then they prove it to her and then she believes them. It's real fast. That happens.
It was real quick.
There's not a lot.
There was no trying to convince her that I'm not a bad guy.
Even though I just kidnapped your ass.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. And, like, tied you up and barely gave you water. I mean, like, a lot of bad shit. Mm-hmm. But again, hey, how many fucking werewolf books have we read where they start out with kidnapping the girl? I think at least two.
Yeah.
Like, that must just be the number one.
It must be a werewolf
Why
thing.
Why am I wearing my glasses? I don't need to see. This is why I'm uncomfortable. So anyway, sorry. Okay. She and John, the leader, the alpha of the werewolves, obviously start having kind of a, like, back and forth flirty thing happening. Not exactly sure what the overall plan is, but somehow they're going to kill the vampires. And instead, she leaves their protection and gets kidnapped by the vampires.
Of course she does.
Because when you're kidnapped by one group, the best thing to do is then leave them once they're trying to protect you and get kidnapped by another group. Because double kidnapping in a book is fantastic. Really speaks to her self-sufficiency. So she gets kidnapped. Michelle and Renee, his lover slash
mate.
Second in command.
Yeah.
Slash psycho bitch.
She's fucking nuts.
Are, like, torturing her. They're trying to... I don't know what they want. Like, they have the cure, but he actually doesn't want the cure. He wants the cure to turn all humans into vampires. Which, then, what the fuck do you eat? This is a bad plan. The vampires don't have a sensical plan. He wants the cure for vampires to actually turn humans into vampires. He's gonna put it in the water system. But as far as I understand... I mean, obviously, alchemy is not science. But if I had to think about it in the similar terms to science...
Sure.
Like, if you had a vaccine for smallpox, you couldn't turn that into making everybody have smallpox.
Right.
I could be wrong. I'm not a scientist. Someone's going to tell me that's exactly what you can do with a vaccine. And I'm going to be like, well, fuck. But no one called this a vaccine, because remember, we're in Victorian era, or somewhat. We don't know. There's no definitive timeline.
It's like almost a made-up timeline, but
I think so too.
Victorian-ish.
They kind of reference the South and Savannah, but mm-hmm. no one in the book spoke Southern English.
At all.
Not at all. Anyway, so the werewolves come and save the day, and then the vampires attack the werewolves, and then they kill... most of the vampires, and they turn Michelle into a human. She uses the cure on him, so he's no longer a vampire, and then he dies.
Uh-huh.
And then she and John become mates, and finally have sex.
Yeah.
After Celeste's numerous days of blue balls.
My God. This book was full of fucking blue balls, man. Full of blue balls. It is, I mean, I didn't hate it. I just fell for it every single time.
Yeah.
I was just so hopeful that it was going to be what it was going to be, and nope, got cut off.
There's a lot of teasing sex scenes in the book where it's not real sex.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dreams.
A lot of
people have sexy dreams in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they wake up and the dream ends and you're like, that wasn't real sex.
No, but it was. I did like them all. I liked them all, though. There was probably, like, six or something in there.
There was quite a few.
There was a lot of,
Nothing was real sex.
No, until the very end.
Well, except for Renee and Michelle's, which was horrible.
Oh, yeah. No, there were some real gruesome, like...
One of the most bloody books we've read.
I was just gonna say that. It was very, very detailed in as far as, like... God. I mean, okay. One part of the book, they had tied... This is when they kidnapped Amelia... tied her and made her watch them have sex underneath her teacher, her alchemist trainer.
I think just boss. Not true.
Okay, boss. Who they'd killed after
they cut her throat and hung her upside down over a bathtub. Her.
While they, like, fucked in the bathtub with her blood dripping down. Like, it just, it was gruesome.
It was really gruesome.
Yeah.
It was horrific. I was like, whoa. And because it didn't seem to fit, it kind of, the vampires took a real turn on us.
They really did.
Which is fine. I'm fine with vampires being evil. That's okay. Vampires were evil for most of the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's only, you know, a couple of books where we try to, like, romanticize them and give them,
benefit of the doubt.
Or they're like good vampires who don't really kill humans or something. You know, something. We've come across those, obviously. We've had them. But these, like, Michelle went from being the presumed romantic interest of the book.
Yeah, he started up like that.
And I thought it would have been more interesting if after the werewolves kidnapped her, she didn't believe them right away. They couldn't prove anything. And then, like, Michelle would show up and tell her how he was really trying to save her and the werewolves were trying to use her, like, her invention for nefarious purposes. And she didn't know who to trust. And she had to figure shit out on her own instead of, like, she just went, oh, I've been so stupid. I liked Michelle and I don't anymore. I love you, John. save me, John. I just think there was more there if we had had a little bit more time before. It was just, all of a sudden, Michelle was literally a nightmare character.
Yeah.
He went from being, like, sexy vampire to being, like, I'm going to rape you while I suck your blood and then fuck my girlfriend in your blood in a bathtub underneath your dead corpse.
Like,
and I'm like, oh,
it, it took until, like, a couple of chapters. And, like, he didn't come back and say, no, they are the bad guys. Yeah. I'm the good guy. There was no, it was just like, oh, you figured me out. No, I'm bad guy. Oh, no. Sorry, I don't know where that
he's French.
No, Russian, because that's all I can do.
That's about as good as any of the accents in this book. They were bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Fiona. I think you should have just stuck with whatever your natural accent is. Just go with that.
Probably what Amelia was.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Which is like pseudo-British.
Yeah, there were words that you picked up that I didn't. Beta. No idea until Kalina told me that Adam is John's beta. And I was like, where did you pick that up from? And then she said, beta. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. That took a while. She kept calling it John's beta. And I was like, what is this word that we keep hearing? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, and then funny. I figured it was beta.
She tricked me a lot. There was a lot of trickery in this book.
Trickery.
I fell for it every single time.
You did.
Which was, I mean, it was all the dreams.
Yeah.
That, the, you know, the intimacy that was the teasing going to happen between either Michelle and Amelia or John and Amelia. And it was just like, oh, this is good. And then fucking wake up from a daydream.
Do you know what was weird?
Then I'd have blue balls.
No, there were good, like, preludes to sex in this book. It was intense. The thing that stuck out the most for me is numerous places. First off, Amelia's kind of, like, uptight, proper Victorian lady.
Uh-huh.
Except she's frequently refers to her pussy.
Yes.
As pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she referred to her ass as derriere. And I went, nope! No, you don't get to use both those.
She does. That's crazy.
I went, what?
Yeah.
You literally, like, 2 seconds ago said your pussy was wet.
Yeah.
But then he grabbed you by your derriere. And I was like, that's the most ridiculous contradictory word choice I've ever heard. Get your ass.
It was all over the place. This book, it didn't have any consistency, which I don't think.
No. I mean, I really, it was good. I'm gonna be harsh on it because I think it had more potential than it was given. Like, there's space in there. Like I said, if she had played out the two sides against each other with Amelia being in the middle and not knowing who to trust, who to really give the cure to, who's going to do what with it, you know, that would have been much more fascinating. And also it would have given Amelia more agency over herself and her situation. Instead, it seemed like in the beginning we had this incredibly strong, dominant woman who's like, she's in the sciences, quote, alchemy. She lives by herself in what may or may not be Victorian times. We're not sure. I mean, everyone drove horses, so I guess carriages. Whatever. carriages and whatever. But anyway, she was independent. She had a job. She was in the sciences. She didn't, need anyone. She was out dating. Yep. She went out and hung out with her sister. Like, all this stuff. She was going to win the Nobel Prize for her cure. She was really excited about that.
Yep.
I mean, she had a career. And she went from this in the very beginning. We had built this woman who I was really excited to, watch go through this, adventure. And immediately crumbles into the damsel in distress.
Yep. As soon as she meets Michelle.
Yeah, nothing even happened in that scene. And he had to save her. And I was like, from what? I mean, obviously we found out later that he killed her.
I had an inkling it was
of course
him.
He fucking killed her.
Yeah.
There was a different vampire in town right there that second who killed your driver. And then you were saved by a vampire. Bullshit. Grow some eyeballs. Look at the situation and assess it for what it is. That didn't happen. That dude's playing you. But anyway.
Totally.
But like, yeah. So I would have really liked her to have to figure that out. Like, who's good? Who's bad? Which one do I believe? Because nobody's telling her the truth on either side.
Right.
And all that. But instead, she's completely bought Michelle's act, gets kidnapped, and he completely buys everything they say.
Yep.
They have one picture of her boss with Michelle or something.
One picture. Espionage.
And it is proof that she's sold...
Eva.
Yeah, that Eva sold Amelia out. And I was like, I don't know how that's proof of shit, but okay. And then she buys into that, and then she gets embarrassed, and she lets her pride get her in trouble. Sure. And
it was almost kind of like, I've got these really, really good teasing sex scenes. I need to get them written down, and then just throw shit around it.
This book was 100% all... I thought of that. I thought of you while listening to it, because you write sex scenes without... books.
Without plot. Just the sex.
And this is absolutely sex scenes that then she had to concoct a book around.
She had to,
because the ending is the most insane thing you've ever heard or read. So they have the whole, denouement. They kill the vampires are gone, or they run away. And she and John start having the conversation about their relationship. He has to be honest with her that, it's werewolves. It's, mate for life. It's not that simple.
Own kind, typically.
You know, this isn't just easy. It's not going to be a casual dating thing. And then without really solving that conversation, all of a sudden we jump to 6 months later.
Yep.
She's, I think, at her own home.
Seems like it.
Getting ready. Again, we get a nice description of a purple corset and all of the fancy dress that goes with it. And John knocks on the door, and then she says, come in, and immediately starts to have a daydream about the first time they had sex. Which sounds like it was back around the time of the conversation we had just been having before we jumped to 6 months in the future.
Yes.
And so now we spend half a chapter in this daydream, but don't get to the actual sex. Because then he's like, are you ready, Amelia? And breaks into her daydream revelry, and she goes down and they go to the theater.
Yeah.
And that's that evening. And I'm like, what am I
That was it for me. I was like, okay, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me seven times, shame on me. But I was like, this is it. I cannot do this anymore. They need to fuck. Let's just fuck. And I think they did.
Yeah.
They did, finally.
They came home from that, Red, and had sex. That's when he marked her.
Yeah, because he said, I'm going to do it.
I'm just going to surprise you.
Just going to be a surprise.
And then we jumped forward another couple months to Christmas, just to have Christmas with them. And he asked her to marry him. And that's the end of the book. And I don't understand.
What was it?
It was just, I swear to God, she wrote these scenes and then she went, all right, and she laid the scenes down and then just concocted some interstitials.
I feel her there. If that was her whole, reasoning behind all this and that's just how she ran her book, then I feel you. I feel you, Julie. That's why I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm not going to share that because I'm going to steal my idea, although it's probably already been done. It's just, you get your ideas, you have them, and you're written down, and then you just got to build a fucking story around it. It's story writings.
Yeah, that's how you write stories.
No, yeah. So, otherwise you're just writing Klitz notes.
Yeah, that's Deadly Alchemy. But again, even with those problems... And I could go on. I could discuss how the characters were underdeveloped. How the dialogue was clunky and unrealistic.
Dialogue was a little...
I still, at the end, enjoyed this book.
Yeah, I did.
It was still fun. You just, set all that stuff aside. A lot of the romance we read is not... This is not Nobel...
No.
winning, no. prize-winning literature.
This is, if you want to enjoy a whole bunch of, like, if you just want to enjoy teasing and getting blue balls, this is the book. Or just, like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Forget it. Forget it. That part's coming out.
No, you can't cut any of it out. Keep talking.
All of it's out. Out. I am the master of this.
No.
recording.
This is why every episode's just me.
No,
I'm like babbling it. On because you cut yourself out of the episode.
I
know.
I cut because I say stupid shit and it doesn't ever make sense. Because then I re-listen to it. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why? How does Kalina have a conversation with you?
That's not true.
None of anything in your head ever translates. You can't. I mean,
that is not true. It's a bunch of bullshit.
I don't remember what I was saying.
Well, you're gonna have to talk. What's the next topic? What else are we talking about?
I do want to say what my favorite scene is. And my favorite scene is, which is sort of, it can kind of lead us into our fun fuck fact and our kiss and tell. Speaking of dreams and all of the, one of the many dreams that the characters have in this book is of John. And I don't remember it specifically, but he's with Amelia and they're about to throw down. And then all of a sudden, bam, they fucking wake up. And then I'm like throbbing and nothing's happening. And so he wakes up, he goes and turns on the shower, and then he just fucking rubs one out because he's got a hard on waking up from after this dream. It was pretty good. It was described really well. It was just like the mood was set. I mean, it was just like, I know I like Morningwood. I love playing with it. I think it's fun. Even though Dan doesn't particularly like it sometimes because he's like, I really need to pee. Which is not, I guess, a comfortable thing. I don't know. I don't have a penis, so I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I just thought it was really...
I liked it, too.
It was really cool.
Because it seemed real.
Yeah.
It seemed realistic. Like, he had a dirty dream about her, and he woke up and was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go take care of this.
Yep.
And he just, you know, he sat there next to his bath while it filled up and...
Yeah, and it was, like, sort of a surprise, because then she was just like... And then he finished off in the bath, or I don't even remember. I guess it wasn't too detailed, but
no.
You knew exactly what was happening, and I was just
grabbed
like...
grabbed his penis, and...
Yep, she did. She said it, and he did. And it was good. I liked
it. That
was
fun.
I liked that scene. That was
I like when things feel realistic.
Yeah.
Like something that would actually happen.
Like, because
a good chunk of this book was like, well, that's not how people talk to each other. No. No. That's... No.
Yeah.
Like Amelia. So I don't know why they had to go out partying the night before they were going to kill the vampires. To me, tactically, that sounds like a problem.
Sure.
If you're about ready to go into battle with other, like, supernatural beings who have the ability to kill you, maybe you don't go and drink 7 bottles of whiskey the night before. But that's just me. Those are choices I would make.
Maybe you get a good night's rest.
I don't know. I'd sleep a little bit, plan, I don't know,
train,
things like this. So instead, werewolves felt that the best thing to do on a night before a battle would be to go get drunk. So they went to the bar, and, like, at this point, I don't know what Amelia's deal was, but she decided, she was like, I'm gonna drink all of you under the table. She says to a giant pack of werewolves. Werewolves.
Yeah.
Did you say wolverines?
You totally said wolverines.
That's not it. Werewolves.
No, we gotta
She didn't tell there. Hugh Jackman she's gonna drink him under the table.
Although, he's pretty hot.
He's very hot, but I still think...
I'm sure a lot of women would drink him under the table.
Oh, I'd give it a shot. I feel like he'd probably still win.
Okay.
Yes. But yes. So she was just adamant, and she kept saying it, and the werewolves are just like, Amelia.
Oh, wait. You totally didn't get what I meant by drinking him under the table. Oh,
no, I got what you meant.
Oh.
I was going to go a different way. I was cleaning it up.
Wait a minute. Why are we cleaning this up? This is dirty.
I know.
I was like, hold on. I know Kalina gets this shit. Come on.
I know.
Okay, anyway, sorry. Sorry, I interrupted you. I don't even remember what your last thought was.
Anyway, she didn't. The werewolves were like, no.
Yeah, totally.
They're like a bunch of big men.
Yes, yeah.
And they have the metabolism of wolves. You're not drinking them under the table, you crazy and little chick.
She's a dainty little lady. Well, yeah, and then she wakes up with a hangover and decides that she needs to go grab some shit from her apartment by herself while being hunted by vampires. So, you know, that's always a good idea.
Oh, God. She made some bad choices.
Yeah.
But also, the vampires made some bad choices.
These were some really shitty vampires.
They were terrible
vampires. Really shitty vampires.
Like, if you subsist on the blood of humans, why are you draining it out into bathtubs and fucking it?
That's, like, wasteful.
That's wasting your meal.
Totally. Especially if you want to take the serum and make more vampires, then what the fuck are you gonna eat?
You're I still wasting don't get, blood. It's like it goes back to
the dragon
books where the bad dragons want to kill all humans
and make all and it's just a bunch of dragons.
And I'm like, but then none of you will ever have more dragons because without human females, there are no more dragons.
Yeah,
dragons don't reproduce with other dragons; they're all men.
Yep.
Bad guys cannot have overarching plots that don't make sense. That's upsetting. That's one small thing you've got to fix. You just have to fix.
No, for sure.
Like, I could see if he wanted the serum to make humans docile or, like, controllable or to make vampires more powerful or undeadly, or not undeadly, unkillable, like even by, like, how about immune to the sun?
Invincible. Oh,
or,
yeah.
Like, you can't stake, I don't know, whatever. Something fucking pick that, something yeah. else that the serum could have done other than turn the entire population of the world into vampires who can't eat. What are you guys all going to live on?
It's just...
You like torturing humans? What are you going to do when they're all vampires?
Look, I just needed a story to write around sex scenes that I am not going to complete. Please, let me do this.
You have to assume that at some point, some asshole is going to read your book and go, I found a hole! This paranormal romance novel doesn't hang together. First of all... Why is there an Australian and a Cockney and a British person in Southern America in the Victorian era?
Yes.
Have issues.
And the American doesn't have a Southern accent.
And the American just sounds American.
It just sounds not Southern American.
Oh, Jesus. They all had unique accents and they were all just random.
It was weird.
Random. I mean, at least Michelle and Renee's were French, and they were French, so it seemed okay. It made sense.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, so there's all of that. So let's get into our fun fuck fact real quick and then dive into our kiss and tell.
Alrighty. So a study done in Hong Kong has discovered that people who sleep on their stomachs with their arms raised above their heads have more sexy dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best position for having
sexy dreams.
Sex dreams. They're just sex dreams. I don't know what else to call them.
I think that's really interesting. I don't know. Maybe is it because you're like, maybe not have enough oxygen?
I think you're dying. I feel like that's the position in which you die. So maybe you start hallucinating sex dreams. I don't know.
I'm not a stomach sleeper because I would not breathe.
I'm a side-ish stomach sleeper. I sleep on my stomach, but with, like, a big body pillow.
Yeah.
And so, like, my head's turned to the side. The idea of putting my arms over my head sounds terrifying. That I would definitely die if you did that.
I do sleep with my arms over my head. I think that's a genetic thing, actually.
Because
when the boys were born and they were in their incubator, they both slept with their arms up. And then one of the nurses or doctors at one point said, okay, does mom or dad sleep, like, with the arms up over your head? That's something they picked up from you. I was like, really? That's totally. Me.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Do you ever wake up and not feel your arms?
Yes.
Okay, because I've only done that once.
Oh, yeah.
I fell asleep that way once as a kid, and I woke up and thought I had to have both my arms amputated because I was like, oh, I can't move them! And I couldn't feel them at all, and I sat up and they just flopped around beside me. Oh. And I was like, oh no, my God, I did something bad. Oh, I don't have arms anymore.
I usually catch it, like, before. I have woken up with them, like, my right arm completely dead before, and I went to go open the door, and so I opened it, and I couldn't feel it, but I saw myself turning it, and then I pulled it back, but then I shut it again, because I was like, there's no sensation, it doesn't work. But, you know, I was totally asleep. The over-the-head thing with them up, I don't know, it's just so comfortable.
Not in my world.
But they do.
Hmm. No, I sleep, well, shitty is really how I sleep. So
first off,
I don't. It's really more of a truthful statement. And then mostly side, stomach, I just roll around. Just over and over again all night. back, side, stomach, side, back, side, stomach, side, back, side, upside down, this way, that way, sideways, across the bed.
Dude.
Head hanging off.
I am sorry how Florida's gonna be in a couple weeks.
Oh, right.
Because I'm in a good sleeper, but I also suffer, which you have witnessed, and we've talked about that before in a previous podcast, but I snore. I'm a snorer. And you can
I only travel with snorers.
I'm sorry. It's
I cannot
it's
sleep.
Just, I, oh.
I'll bring these headphones. And put on music.
They really
When I travel with Violet, that's what I do is I put my headphones on and I put an audiobook in real loud.
Oh, perfect. Because I, and it's loud. Just been.
My mom snores. I travel with her. Wow. Everyone I know snores.
Yeah.
I don't, I think it's because I don't sleep well, but I fundamentally don't understand it because every time I have even the smallest snore, I wake up instantly. And so when I hear people snoring and still asleep, I'm like, well, that's nonsense. How are you doing this? How do you not know that you're making a lot of noise right now? But why aren't you awake?
You can wake up from an ant fart. Like, you literally are very sensitive when you're sleeping. So, yeah, please bring your headphones because you're going to need it.
That's okay.
So, for our kiss and tell, we are going to talk about...
Sexy dreams.
Sexy dreams and our own personal sexy dreams mm-hmm. that we've had. And... Mm-hmm. One, two, three, go!
We're just gonna stare at each other. Okay. Well, this all goes back to what we were just talking about. It's I don't sleep very well. Mm-hmm. So I don't dream very much. But occasionally, every once in a while, I do. Recently, I've just been having very violent dreams about political issues and blowing things up.
Oh, God.
I won't talk about them. They're not real. I'm not a violent person. But politics makes me angry. So apparently that seeps in.
You were the... Blowing okay.
Yeah, no, I'm a...
You were the bad guy.
Full-on terrorist in my
dreams. Oh my God, that's insane.
It's real okay. bad. But when I am particularly horny and not getting any, I do have some sexy dreams. Mm-hmm. I've discovered over the years that mine tend to be with people who I find attractive, but I don't allow myself to think of as attractive sure. in my conscious world. And so my subconscious world, like, throws them up in the middle of the night and is like, you're gonna fuck him. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, that's yes. right. I do think he's kind of hot. Why do I think he's hot? That doesn't make any sense. So, for example, and actually... Yeah. I didn't show you a picture before we started talking because it makes a lot. You have to see a picture, otherwise it's not.
Sure. You're like, I think I've seen him.
I know you've seen
once,
him.
But I can't remember exactly what he looks like because you did point him out to me at the.
Oh no, not him.
Oh. The other guy.
So one of the ones that happened.
The coach,
especially. This time of year
okay.
is Matt Patricia, who was the defensive coordinator for New England for a number of years. This year he's the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand.
You know what it is? Do you remember that podcast episode? Or the podcast episode? The episode where you talked about you just want to climb them?
Oh.
He
is a very climbable yes. person.
I think it was the badger one, where you were like, I just want to climb them like a tree. You can totally climb that dude like a tree. Yes.
I could climb him like
he
a tree.
He looks climbable. That's yep. what. So, yeah, it's
so that must be it.
Subconscious. Yep.
It's subconscious that I just am like, how do I climb that man? Yeah, that's my
yeah.
He looks my occasional climbable. Random sex dream. Is that Patricia?
That works. Are you going to tell us about any of them? You got to get into a detail.
I don't honestly have details on them. I remember, like, I don't remember them. I just know I've been dreaming. I wake up feeling very sexually frustrated, mm-hmm. like horny. Like, I've been getting aroused. Mm-hmm. And I can remember seeing, like, his head or his face or him. Like, I just remember.
Is he naked in your dream?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
It's not that detailed. Like, everything's very fuzzy, but I just can tell that I've had a sex dream because I
you're
feel like
flustered.
It. Yeah. You yeah. feel it and you're like, you know, squishy. You're scrunchy. You're scrunchy. And you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I must have been dreaming. And then you're like, well, that's who I was dreaming of, so that's weird. Yeah, no, I don't have any fun details to share because I just don't ever remember them.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure they're happening, but...
Well, yeah. I dream every night. I'm a very avid dreamer. I would say for the most part I remember my dreams, but obviously there are times that I don't, so...
Yeah. I mostly don't. Mostly I just have, like, feelings. Mm-hmm. Occasionally one, like my most recent ones that are politically violent, I will remember in detail, and I'm like, well, that's terrifying. All right.
Yeah. So, I've definitely had it too, and during the same times where you're sexually... I'm sexually frustrated, and I'm just like, I just need to fuck. And it usually happens around, like, maybe a little bit before or even after I have my period. So it's such an incredible timing. It's usually... Actually, I don't even know that I've ever really had a sex dream with Dan. I may have had one. I think I've had a few celebrities. Most of the time, it's just with some random person. And I can't, like you, I don't remember details or anything mm-hmm. too much. But the one that I do remember, and it was actually a very, very lovely dream. And this was long, long time ago. But it was with... Draco Malfoy from Harry Potter. And it wasn't Tom Felton. It was Draco Malfoy. Yeah.
Which is good.
And yeah. And so it was the very majestic, beautifully placed dream. Like, it was just so romantic and everything that Draco isn't. It was mm-hmm. just really weird. And they say you don't dream in color, but I guess I didn't really either because everything was white. Mm-hmm. The trees were white, the house, the grass, the water, the horse. He wore all white. I didn't look at myself. I'm not white. So. And I didn't see myself. But it was so beautiful and everything was moving so elegantly and so slowly. And he was just so gentle. And it was very lovely and very romantic. And the sex was very... I don't remember it. Obviously, this is a couple of years ago. I don't remember it in detail too much, but I do remember it being slow and romantic at first and then just hot and heavy in the end. Mm-hmm. And then I mm-hmm. wake up and I'm like, whoa, dear Draco Malfoy, I love you. Yeah, that was it. I mean, I want to explain exactly how it started or how it, you know, all of that. I don't think there was like any foreplay or teasing. It was just like, we were in this courtyard that was just beautiful. And then all of a sudden we were like underneath a white canopy in a white bedroom with white sheets. Good thing I'm not a virgin.
That would also be an upsetting dream.
I know. And I don't even think I think it was just kind of like, you know, movie clips where it was just going into the next scene. So all of a sudden we were like walking with a horse and then all of a sudden we were fucking. So.
Yeah. Dreams aren't linear and sensical.
No.
So it's hard to like describe them because you're like, and then, I don't know, it just made sense at the time. It seemed like the thing that happened. I'm apparently climbing Mad Patricia like a tree. Scaling him. Like a mountain.
I love it. It was very delightful. Delightful.
I like them. They're fun.
Yeah, for sure. I know Dan has told me about a couple of dreams that he's had, and I'll say it here, and if I don't have permission, then it's getting deleted. But most of the sex dreams that he has always been with one of my girl cousins. And, you know, I'm not a jealous type. Although, I am very jealous of an imaginary girlfriend that I gave Dan in my head. You wouldn't believe how crazy jealous I am of this imaginary person. Have you heard that song, Girl Crush?
I don't know.
I got a girl crush.
Something. Sounds familiar. Yeah, sounds familiar.
I actually don't know who sings it. But anyway, I was listening to it one day, and I just, like, went into tears. I don't know what type of emotions I was going through, but I just pictured Dan with his... I don't know. Maybe. I was probably ragging. I have no idea.
No, I was going to say your all those shots for when you were doing in vitro, because I feel like those hormones could really fuck you up.
No, they weren't. They weren't. This was, like, probably a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so he will tell me about a dream he's had, and I love it when he's in the middle of a dream and I like roll over and touch him and he's got a boner, like he's just that's opportunity, that's when you take it. And so, and I love those moments. But when he wakes up and he's just like, I just had an awesome sex dream, and then I'll say, who was it with this time? Because it's never with me, not even jealous, because I love him. I just love to hear about them. And And I was like, what are you thinking? Uh-huh. Sometimes it results in sex.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's good. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, sex dreams are good. It's like your little subconscious going, hey, you're ignoring this part pretty of your much. Life. You need either to pay closer attention to this.
Jump on him or bring out the Evo. So
that's usually what I do. Yeah. I'm like, all right, shower time.
Let's do both. I'll do both. Honey, can you just from behind and
yeah.
I'll hit my buzzer. Yay, sexy dreams.
Yeah, I promote them.
Yeah.
They're better than violent political dreams. Those never leave me happy.
Oh, that's funny. You gotta tell me about those.
I will. They're horrible.
Yeah,
I can't because the FBI will come after me if I tell you on a podcast that we then put up on
maybe
the internet. I will end up being surveilled.
Have you ever had a wet dream?
No.
So I don't know if this is a real thing or if I've just made it up in my head.
90% chance it's a real thing.
Okay. I have woken up thinking I've had an orgasm. Maybe I, you know what I mean?
You probably, like I mean, you could. Did,
but I don't.
There's no reason you couldn't.
There wasn't any stimulation.
Yeah, but women can.
Does that, like, that's magical.
We're kind
like,
of magical creatures.
I think I just turned
we
into
We might
a
be
unicorn.
Well, in the book, Amelia has one. One of
Does
those
she, one yes. of the scenes she had one?
Yes. I think it's the first night at the werewolf house she has a dream about
he was going down
John,
on her, right?
And she wakes up and says the evidence is all over the bed.
But I thought it was just her being wet and getting things moist down there.
Well, I feel as if
no, okay. I just didn't think like
I think it could go either way. You could have read that either way. But yeah. I feel as if the implication is there that
she got one.
She got one and squirted.
Oh, okay.
And messed up the bed.
Okay. No, I think, and this is recent, I think happened not even like a couple months ago.
Well, we are reading a lot of sexy books.
We
you
are.
Could easily be influenced by the book.
I'm really surprised I haven't like dreamt about any supernatural creatures yet, any paranormal ones. Like, you know, vampires, werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't think I have either, but.
Yeah.
Some of the characters stick with you longer than others and like kind of crop up. Not necessarily in dreams, but in like some of that like Twilight where you're like falling asleep.
The Twilight sleep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are, FYI people, those are the moments that sleep paralysis happens, at least for me. Mm. Is in that mid sleep between, I know, fuck you upstairs. Between the drifting off to sleep and then fully falling into REM.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, like, scary
man
plane
growing
or whatever
up,
it is.
I had the worst times in those, in that period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I had sleep paralysis or anything, but I would be laying there and I wouldn't be asleep and I'd know it, but I'd also be, there was always this marble that was running in squares around the edge of the room over and over in, like, laps.
A marble?
Yeah. Not a real one. That wasn't real. But this is what I'd be...
That's what you would see.
I'd be, like, stuck in a loop with this ball. Like a marble of some kind of round... It was bigger than a marble, but it was a round, hard, and it would be running on a track around the room over and over and over again.
Wow.
And I'd just be stuck in that, and I'd know I wasn't asleep, but I also wasn't awake.
So you knew that wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that is...
But I'd also not be able to, like, do anything. I'd just be, like, annoyed and
right.
be like what...
And then you would try to wake up or fall asleep. Mm-hmm. More often try to wake up.
Wake up, yeah.
You would try to wake up. That is how my sleep paralysis started.
Ugh.
It started with those. Only you were seeing marbles. I was seeing little kids that didn't exist.
Yeah,
like, it was terrifying. I would see my mom, who would be at work. And I knew she was at work. But it'd be my mom asking to, like, come into my room or something. And I'd be like, I know it's not you. Go the fuck away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I know it's all here.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't take away from how frightening it is. It's really scary. Maybe it's a good thing you don't sleep. Because then you would have full-on sleep paralysis. And everything would
I'm
be
working
so scary.
On it. Not the sleep paralysis, the sleeping.
Don't work on the sleep paralysis.
My mom has, she swears, she takes 15 milligrams or whatever, some dosage of CBD, and she has for a month now, and she's actually getting sleep.
And you guys all have sleep problems.
Yeah, none of us sleep. My dad sleeps fine.
Dad
rest of us,
too.
Fucked. Fucked. Can't sleep.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to try that, see if it helps. Every night before bed, the small pill, 15 CBD. Motorcycle gang outside.
Yes. Ignore the... Well, good luck with that. I hope that works for you. And if it does, bring it with you.
Oh, I will.
When we share the whole
thing. Because it'll only be a month by the time we go anyway. So yeah, I'll be on it, even if I don't know. Because it's supposed to take a while to, like, really work. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was going to bring my heavier dosage anyway, just to get through the fucking weekend.
You have an important weekend coming up. I did want to say something or mention something that John did say in one of the conversations that he and Amelia had that I thought was pretty, I think it's a strong emotion. Like, it's a strong feeling, and I think it's important for people who are...
Werewolves?
No, werewolves. Who are afraid of falling in love. And I'm occasionally always going to jump back into this. I'm team love. So they have a conversation about their relationship, their, you know, or what's happening between the two of them. And he does say, we can't help who we fall in love with. And I think that's so true. Obviously, you make a choice, so you can help who you fall in love with. But at the same time, if you find yourself feeling that way and you can't help who you fall in love with, then that's when I say, take the baton and run. Like, it's just such a good thing. We have a good friend of ours right now, Chiemi, who's in New Orleans, and she's got a love interest who's younger than her, but we're all with younger guys. Like, it doesn't matter. At this point, when you're 35 years old, like, it just doesn't matter. He's not 12, so yeah. It doesn't fucking matter.
Are they over 18? Okay, right. Fine.
Yeah, you know.
Move forward.
And she's been hurt by past relationships and everything, so we get that. We get the reservation, and she's away from us, so she doesn't get the support from us that we used to, although we're sort of jackasses.
We're the worst friends. Don't be friends with us.
We just, you know.
Does you no good.
But I think this is a really good relationship for her. So we're sending her a lot of love and hoping that this works out and everything. But that's a message that I do want to send to her. And I'm not going to tell her that. I'm going to make her listen to this episode. And
in 6 fucking months?
Yep.
All right.
Get that, Chi. So from John says we can't help who we fall in love with. And I absolutely believe that. So like I said before, just jump, man. Love is great.
Yeah. There's two sides to every coin.
It may fuck you up and make totally 180 on you, and you're like, why the fuck did I even listen to her? Well, that's a chance you took on your own.
Yeah.
Even though I told you to.
You cannot hold us liable.
No, we're not liable for anything we say or do.
No. Not responsible.
Yeah. So, rating. Dirty pleasure rating. And of course, we never have it ready.
Well, okay. This book had squishy
there sex. There squishies in here.
Squishy scenes. Like, scenes that just gets everything scrunchy. Oh, it was definitely super squishy. So that's an 8 on sex.
Okay.
On the teasing and the sex and the...
Yes.
Everything that goes with it. Because really, there was very little full sex. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of just, like you said, dreams. And
yes.
Things that...
Bunch of blue balls.
Caught you off guard and stuff. The book itself, I cannot give that high a score to. I had. I do, and I feel there are moments when I really wish I could just read books for more pure enjoyment than I do. And I know I've been talking about this a lot lately.
We've ruined it. It's what it is.
But I feel like I would have had problems with this book even outside this podcast, because I'd have been like, what the? This is not a plot. So the book I'm only going to give like a 5.
Okay.
Because it wouldn't have taken that much more to fix some of those things that I had big problems with.
Sure, yeah.
Like, it's a little bit more work in the writing, a little bit more, like, planning and, you know, developing some of those characters. It's not a ton, because the story is there. It just, we need a little bit of that. Maybe not as much, you know, fucking...
corset.
Blood hanging.
Oh. Right.
What is that, Countess Bathory, that's what it reminded me of.
What is that?
She's the woman from history who was said to have bathed in the blood
of her slave girls.
Her servants and slaves, because it would keep her young.
Yes, okay, I know who that is, yeah.
Yeah, basically. I was like, oh, okay.
You're right, that's like TNT. Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. So yeah.
Also, blood is sticky. Like, how could you not?
It's
be
so
sticky?
Viscous.
Like, why would you?
It's not all like flowy like that. Especially because also there was not that much left in her. Like, the human body only holds so much, and they had already drank her for like days, and they drank a bunch more that night before they hung her up and bled the rest. There would have been like an inch in the bathtub.
Right.
No way of enough to cover a full human being.
Right. Right.
Two full human beings.
So,
physically, this isn't possible.
So, if you want to read the gore, there you go. That's it. I think I'm going to agree with you as far as the sex goes with the squishy, super squishy 8.
Squishy 8.
And I'm going to give this a 6 because it was sizzling to me. And I fell for those blue ball parts every single time. And I fucking loved it. It was sizzling for me. I mean, it's borderline toe curling because I was just like, yes, it's here, it's here. And no.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Left me high and dry. And I kind of like, I've never had a book tease me like that before. Not really. So I got a good tease out of it. And I do agree with some of the stuff that you said as far as like plot and writing and stuff like that. But I think I enjoyed it. Good. I think more so because of how she got me every single fucking time. I was like, yes, it's going to happen. And no, it didn't happen, guys. Except for the end. And that got confusing. But but it happened.
Yeah. No, so. that end part was just nonsense. Yep. I don't know why you had to go forward and then jump backwards and daydream and then go forward and then dream. And I was like, what are we doing?
It was a little confusing.
We have a daydream and a forward and then an epilogue. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So join us next time. We're going to be reading The Boss by Abigail Owen. It's the first in her Fire's Edge series. We actually are also going to read The Mate, which is just a small prequel, a little tie-in with the first book. And we have a special surprise for you. So I think you guys are going to want to tune in.
Tune in. Make sure to come and join us on that. So, yeah.
We got dragons again, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We know how we love our dragons.
Dragons are great. I mean, we have sexy. Come across, I mean, these werewolves weren't bad. They weren't overly
Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention that.
Aggressive. They weren't jealous. They weren't overpowering. They were
of all the werewolves, except for Charming, who was in a full, like, pack and everything.
Right.
These are our favorite pack of werewolves.
Yes.
We hated the other two packs of werewolves.
Yes.
They were terrible.
They were terrible. Did not enjoy them. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us. You can follow along with all of us and everything that we do and all of the posts that we put up, and you can communicate with us if you want. Social media, Dirty Books on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all of that is with 3 H's.
Yes. And we are on at our website as well at dirtybooks.com, Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, and anywhere you would find podcasts.
Just all over. You know.
All right. So I'm Saylet.
And I'm Kalina.
And we'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Oh, we hope you guys have squishy dreams.
Yes.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy and wonderful introduction.